So basically, there are two different aspects I wanted to talk about with this.
Okay.
So the first issue is just as a business person here in Redwood Falls, you have to deal quite a lot with the fact that you can't really open your doors. And how are you dealing with customers at this point?
Pretty much what we have to do is we have the phone number posted on the door. So if somebody drives up, the door is locked. You call the store and give them your prescription numbers or identification, you know, who you are and all mm-hmm. this and that, and we will fill the prescriptions. Hopefully, people will call from home, and we've got a new thing set up for your cell phone, and you can go to the GuidePoint Pharmacy site and call in your prescriptions, you know, ahead of time, and then we can give you a time basically when they should be ready to go. And then the person drives up, calls us, tells us they're in front of the store, and we charge it out or whatever, run it their credit card, whatever, and then we will bring it out to your car. Basically, we toss it into the back seat.
Okay.
You know, hard to maintain the 6-foot
okay.
limit. So, and then you get your prescription, off you go. Or the other way is what we're doing is mailing. And we also deliver. I'm sorry, we're mailing out a tremendous number of prescriptions. Delivery, the car is gone. We've extended, you know, delivery hours a lot. We've got two people going, so one's driving, one's delivering, so we can keep up with the demand. But we make no, basically, person-to-person contact. It's like you charge on your credit card, whatever, and we knock on your door, you come out and pick it up on the step. You know, so we're maintaining our distance, which actually people are very cooperative with, and they can get their medication, don't have to have the face-to-face contact, and we're still administering medication to people that need it.
One of the things that your business does is supply medications for things like nursing homes and such. Has that changed?
No, not really. We can't change that a lot. It's all unit dose. Other than a lot of wiping everything down as much as possible. But those things still have to be delivered in carts to the different locations. Now, what they are doing when they get it, receive it, that is up to them, too.
As far as how your staff is interacting in the office, is anything different there? Do you have people? Are you working on a full staff right now?
Yeah. We've got a full staff. Everything seems to be going, you know, smooth. Yeah, that's about it. Everybody's up and at 'em, and we're just trying to practice our distancing, too, as much as possible working there. But wiping everything down, cleaning everything down, and we're just up and going so far.
As far as interacting with the clinic and with the hospital, has that changed at all?
Not really. Most everything that comes through from the clinic comes through direct from their computer to our computer. So there's very, very few prescriptions that are carried in by a patient. And they're trying to get them to be all that way. The regular prescriptions are, the narcotic prescriptions can now be all done electronically. So there is no direct interaction.
Has your business, in terms of people just dropping in and, like, say, looking over the other items that you sell, has that been troublesome?
It hasn't. It's, at this point, that's pretty much stopped. Unless somebody says, I would like some Tylenol, I need a cough syrup, you know, can you put that out, charge it to me, I'll come pick it up. And then they drive up, give us a call, and we'll bring it out to them. So they can still get all those items.
Realistically, how much longer do you think you can keep going at this level, or will you have to change things up at some point?
I would say for us, we can operate at this level as long as we need to. Procedures are different. It's, you know, it's not as smooth, but our ordering is all done online. We've got couriers that bring things out to us, our interaction with hospital and clinic and everything is basically all electronic or telephone. We can continue to operate this way indefinitely. I don't want to say that, but I mean we could.
Right. But for me, this is sort of a standard last question. What am I not asking? What would you like people to know about that I'm not asking about?
Okay. Because the drug supply is secure. We've had different intermittent drug shortages previous to this. I will assume that will continue. I don't think that's going to change a lot. I don't think that people really have to be concerned that things are going to switch or change a lot. You know, some of the procedures are still walking in saying hi. You know, they've got to go with this other setup. But that could be operational for a long time. Just like anything else, it's pretty much changing day by day. But as far as everything now, we've been having meetings with the between a bunch of our stores. We get phone calls every once in a while and say, this is a new protocol that we need. This is a protocol that Drug Enforcement Administration is saying that we need to implement, and so that we're all on the same page, and it seems to be working extremely smooth.
You just brought up a good point about, you said you're getting new protocols being sort of handed down from above, from maybe the state or the federal government. Could you go into that, about any changes or regulations that they're imposing for the time being?
Mostly it's been any prescriptions coming over from the clinics now, don't write anything out. No paper. They want everything, you know, electronically done. Or they can call it in, too. Doctors can call it in. But they don't want, any, you know, patients carrying things into us.
Is that for reasons of transmission, or is it more because they just want an electronic record of everything?
No, I think it's just transmission at this point. Eventually, they want to go to everything electronic. I mean, that's a goal that they've worked at the last few years. And I think now with this, they're just saying, hey, let's step it up a notch. Let's finish it off so that everything is electronic.
With everything else, I hope it gets better soon.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Some of the states are having a lot of problems with people cooperating. But like the governor has said, Minnesotans so far have been cooperating with their social distancing and not gathering in large groups. You see pictures of the beaches in Florida and California, and the people are all gathering just like there's nothing going on. And Minnesotans are, they're being responsible. It's kind of another thing in Minnesota nice. We're treating each other nice by staying away, if that's a way of doing it. But by distancing themselves, and we can get through this, and we will get through this.
Everybody's in suspended animation right now.
That's it.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, it is. The whole society, everything has changed. Basically overnight. If you'd say anything, you know, what could change our society, you could say, well, stock market crash or a war or something like this. But this you can't see. And obviously the deaths from the flu are greater than this, but we have to flatten that curve so our health care facilities are not overwhelmed in 1 month, or there's going to be a lot of problems. So we're instituting policies that we didn't dream about a couple months ago. If you pictured worst-case scenario out of the air someplace, what could we do to follow up our country? Nobody would have even dreamed of this. You know, and hopefully this gets under control and it passes fast, or they get a vaccine. There's a couple of medications that they're trying. The hydroxychloroquine might be a good option along with azithromycin, but they've already in some of the other countries had some deaths from it because of the fact that, you know, if one is good, I'll take six.
Oh, yes.
You know,
that's
and
people self-medicating, though.
Sure, sure. Because they don't have the controls over the meds that the United States has got. So Australia is starting to work on some of it fast. we over here, if we push things too fast, everybody gets sued. So Australia's starting on it. We might get some streamlined. They may find one or two meds that really do some work on this, or they get a vaccine, and now it's no more severe than the flu is, and everybody can start getting back to normal and get back to work. And this thing could die down in a real big hurry.
Here's something I'm asking purely for medical reasons, because I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If they can find some medications that can successfully just deal with the symptoms to the point where the symptoms aren't life-threatening and the person just gets through 2 weeks and gets better, would that be enough, do you think?
No. Because when you're trying to deal with the symptoms, you're just chasing the tail.
Okay.
You know, we got to get at the cause. And these viruses are such that sometimes you can find an antiviral or combination that just shuts this stuff down. And I'm assuming that it won't be but a matter of months, because we're throwing tremendous amounts of money at it, that we'll come up with a vaccine. You know, and if you can get vaccinated for it, and you get a certain amount of people get vaccinated, you get a herd immunity, and it just never takes off. So I can see that's coming, but that won't be this year.
Okay.
You know, so, but that's got to get at the cause.
Okay, here's another question that occurred to me earlier today. I saw an interview with an expert on infectious diseases. It would have been maybe a week or so ago, and he was sitting in ABC or CNN or one of those big corporate places. And he said there could be a dozen people walking around this great big building right now who have this virus and don't know it and will never know it because they just think it's a head cold or it's a flu or something. And so I'm wondering, if somebody does get it and recovers because this is a virus, does that mean they're immune from it, like getting chickenpox once in your life and you never get it again?
Right now, that's the basis of fact. There was one person supposedly in Japan that got a second time. That's kind of been discredited. Now, they said, does that mean she got it twice? Or was her testing faulty? And so the epidemiologist that was writing this paper had said, we feel that once you get it, you're immune to it. Now, that doesn't mean it can't mutate. Like the flu, if you only had one flu virus, you'd never have a repeat year after year. But it mutates.
Okay.
But, and that's why you get the shot. So the same way with the coronavirus, it could be the coronavirus, we could have an immunization. They say, well, this is the variety that we think it is this year, and this is the shot you get. And that should be good. But as far as repeating what you had, I would say no. Once you got the immunity, you got it.
I was thinking that maybe it would be helpful if they could come up with a test that they could give everybody just to see who has had it already. And maybe they could put them on some sort of database, national database, saying, okay, this person is cleared.
There was, where is it? There's a community that they basically went in and tested each individual person, whether they had symptoms or not, and then anybody that tested positive basically had to go live in this area. Anybody that was negative could stay in this area, and any type of epidemic just quit. The one group, some of them got sick, of course, in that group, but the rest of the community had no signs, they did not get sick at all. So they're saying the only way we can do anything like that is if you tested each and every individual person. Now, there are titers out there that you can test. Some people will come in and say, well, I don't want the shingle shot because I never had chickenpox as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you or didn't you? No, I never had chickenpox. Well, if you did not have chickenpox, you cannot get the shingles. But are you sure you didn't have it? Because it could have been a mild case, and therefore you don't know. Well, the only way you know is to get the titer for it, and the clinic can administer that to see if you ever had the chickenpox. The thing is the test costs as much as the shingle shot.
Oh, okay.
So why would you go through the test when it costs the same amount to get the shingle shot, and then you know for sure? So is this coronavirus going to have a way of testing in the future if you ever were exposed to it? They might be able to develop a test for that, but it'll probably cost more than the vaccine to get the shot, you know, in the future.
Yeah. So just in that case, you just say the heck with it. Just give me the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if things come to, you know, push comes to shove, they'll just really push and say, you know, like polio vaccine and smallpox and all that, we need everybody to get it.
Yeah, just give it to everybody and you don't really have any say in the matter.
Right. We'll have City Hall open. We'll have 15 nurses giving shots. And you just walk through your line and that's it. And you're done.
Okay. That's actually reassuring to hear.
Yeah, I'm not worried about this down the road at all. But we got to get through the first year. We've had this stuff come through, you know, before. So, but with the stuff that we've got, the, 1918 flu, you know.
The one they call the Spanish flu?
Yeah, Spanish flu, right. Now we've got things that we can get, you know, immunizations and treatments and all this other stuff that we can take care of. It's just that we haven't had one of these things, and we haven't had population density like we've got now, too. You know, and this one's pretty virulent as far as wanting to spread from person to person if you're pretty close. That's why we got to stay, you know, a few feet away and implement a bunch of stuff, and we'll get through it.